Broadcasting from the Ante Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team, and welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and it's going to be another fun show. But before we get into that, I want to mention to everyone, we've had some really good hands of the week and call the floor submission, but keep those coming. Right now, I've been able to stay about a week ahead on those, but sometimes it gets a little close. So keep sending those in. And I'm going to be choosing some of those to submit to Lucky Chewy to break down and get some advice from him on how to play them. I really think this is going to be a fun learning experience because I'll have Patrick, who is our resident novice, and he'll have his take. Then I will have my take with a little more experience, and Chewy will bring that professional take to the hand. So be sure to send those in. I'm also looking for some ambassadors from different parts of the country for the magazine and the podcast. As much as I want to be in all places, I can't do it all the time. So if you would like to be an ambassador for your area, or you have a hand of the week or a call the floor, send them all to podcast@anteupmagazine.com. One of the topics that came up in the Patreon game last night was one of the players found out that AnteUp was back because they were searching for poker cruises and they found us because of that search. So even though we have continued to post good numbers and we're growing, there are still a lot of people out there that may not know we're back or haven't discovered us to begin with. So it would be really helpful if you could give us a rating, preferably 5 stars, but be honest, and that'll help other people find the show. If you're watching Hand of the Week or the various videos that we have over there on our YouTube channel, then give those a thumbs up and subscribe to it. That also helps others find us. That's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle. How's it going?
I'm sneezy.
Sneezy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty, I don't know, allergy-ish outside.
Yeah, this yellow stuff is getting to me.
Yeah. Before we get too far, I want to give a huge shout out to Canada.
Eh?
As you know, I love to kind of geek out on stats, right?
Nerd. Nerd alert.
So I have our podcasting software. I have it set up to where if there's anything that changes dramatically, then they send me an alert and I can go in and look at it. And apparently our Canadian listeners have gone up significantly.
That's awesome.
So
shout out to the small towns that I know. Kitchener. Some of my family actually lived in Kitchener for a while, Manitoba area. I know folks there. And from my international teaching days, I have a lot of Canadian friends. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe they're listening.
Maybe that's why your friends alone have caused this spike.
Regardless, oh, Canada, we're glad you're with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, I'm glad to welcome in our new Table Talk sponsor.
Maker's Mark Bourbon.
Yes.
Maker's Mark Bourbon. It's a staple in our home, and we are beyond thrilled to be partnering with them. Shout out to my buddy, Davey Miller. He started me in my early 20s. Maker's, ginger, lime, dash of salt. That's the key.
There you go. It is what we typically have here in the house.
It's what's in our decanter. It's what's in our scales decanter
all
the time.
It is. But since they became a sponsor, I have really enjoyed kind of getting to know the story behind the drink now. And I think it's fascinating.
Same.
They've been around since 1953.
Well, the Samuels family is fascinating, especially Marjorie. Shout out to my girl, Marjorie. We would have been buds.
Yeah.
I think we would have gotten in trouble together.
That's probably true.
Thick as thieves.
If you look at some of the pictures of her, she's got kind of that.
She's sassy.
Yeah, she's got that sassy grin for sure.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, Margie, who is the wife of Bill Samuels Sr., those two kind of hit it off and started Maker's Mark Bourbon together just to enjoy it with friends. And then Margie was the creative soul behind the shape of the bottle, the label, the look of the label, the red wax, that distinctive red wax that seals the top, and even the name. And beyond that, look at this woman go. She is said to have created bourbon tourism.
Which is cool because
it's beyond cool.
We have been invited to tour the facilities.
I can't wait. I'm already looking for a date that we can get in there.
Loretto, Kentucky.
We are beyond stoked and can't wait to see where this partnership goes and all the things that we can do together.
100%. And then also last night, we had our Patreon game.
I had to miss it. I had to work.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes.
They were asking about you, but...
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, guys.
I think even though you weren't there, it was still, I think, one of my favorite games that we've had so far. It was a lot of fun.
I did hear some yelling from two floors away. So I know some interesting things happened.
Yeah, I got lucky on a couple of hands. I got bad beat on a couple of hands. You know, poker. But like I said, you weren't able to make it. Some of our other regulars weren't able to make it, but it was still a good time.
But I heard some new folks joined.
Yeah, we had a couple of new folks. And
that found us through the cruise.
Yeah. So Mortis, shout out to him. He found us because he was looking for poker cruises. And of course, our cruise came up. And he then, from that, he learned that we had the magazine back and the podcast was back. And so now he's a Patreon member and he joined us last night to play poker.
Love it.
And then shout out to Cajun Joe as well.
He's always a shark, man. He is good.
He is good. You're right. it came down to the three Joes, actually. Me.
Get out.
Chicago Joe and Cajun Joe were the final three.
Top three Joes.
Cajun Joe actually went to Dublin and played in the Irish Open.
I'm so jealous. When you told me about that earlier today, I really am jealous. And just the experience he had, he said he played for a whole week with the cost that normally he might have been able to enter a couple of tournaments here in the U.S. So number one, way to go, Joe, to get out of your comfort zone and travel to a foreign country. And then two, find a spot where you can play for a whole week.
Yeah.
I also want to know about the pubs at night, but we'll call. Yeah.
See if they serve some Maker's Mark.
Maybe.
Coming full circle. Yeah, so it did come down to the final three Joes, and Chicago Joe knocked me out. And remember, we had that poll that it was either a bounty on me or it was $25 to second place. And when we last did the podcast, they were voting. The voting had started as $25 for second place. And now it switched to the bounty on me. So,
And then Chicago Joe took it all. He took first place and he knocked you out. So he got all $75. Go after him. That's all I got to say. Next month.
Next month, the bounty's on Chicago Joe. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Let's see.
But he beat me on a hand that I had a set of threes. He made a straight and...
You don't sound bitter. Threes were not your friend at all last night, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's true. I did put a beat on Pasta. I gotta apologize to Pasta on here too, because I had pocket eights, he had pocket aces.
And yikes!
I hit another snowman. So
nice.
Sorry about that, Pasta. Also, one of the topics that came up during the game last night, though, this is hilarious to me.
I keep listening to it over and over. I can't get enough.
I'm sure a lot of you have heard Beyonce's Texas Hold'em song. Da-na-da-na.
Well, wait. Da-na-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Are you done now?
Woo! That's my favorite part of the whole song.
So there's this group or guy or couple or whatever it is that take these songs and they put like an AI voice or change it around so that it just changes it a little bit. But they put Hank Williams Sr.'s voice through AI to this song. It slowed it down, made it like super, super country, like old country.
I love it. And it makes you understand the words even more, and then yeah. It makes you laugh even more.
I just love hearing Hank Williams Sr.'s voice say
a cuss word.
Yeah, and talking about Alexis. Like, yeah. Alexis didn't even exist then.
Right. So we're going to put, we can't play it. There is no clear cut copyright rule on how long you can play a song. If any of you know the legality, please email us, because we would love to know, but we could not find any concrete definition on how long we could actually play a song on our podcast. So we're going to link it in the description, but we really hope you enjoy it. I hope you play it all weekend long.
If the group is called, it's on Instagram. It's a group called There, I Ruined It.
They do this to a lot of songs. It's not just Beyonce's Texas Hold'em, but
we also last night we talked about Camp One Step.
That's this week.
Yeah,
we leave up. Monday.
Yeah, we'll be heading to the Windy City.
On the road again.
Yeah,
here we go.
Oh, you're gonna sing two songs for us today.
I'm sure the listeners are happy about that.
I'm a bounty for that tournament as well.
Yes.
So I know we've talked to a couple of people that said they're gonna be there. So that's going to be a fun event. Did you save some room in your suitcase this year so that you can bring a bottle home from the wine toss?
Yes, I'm bound and determined. I was really bummed last year when I wasn't able to bring that because we only did carry-ons. But now we're driving this year so we can pack anything in the car.
True.
Home. I'm just so excited to eat in Chicago.
We should probably try some Chicago style pizza.
Yes.
Because that's one thing that we didn't do last time.
But we're definitely eating at Ema's.
Yeah.
Three dots and a dash. Yeah. Reservations are being made. That is happening. Cannot wait. But beyond that, we're more excited to bet on better to support families of children who are going through cancer treatment. And excited to see who the winner is as well. That's going to be headed to they'll get the $10,000 seat to the WSOP for the summer.
This is one of our favorite events of the year.
It really is.
We look forward to this. It goes on our calendar as soon as we know the exact date. And so we are looking forward to this one. And that's to put it mildly. But yeah, I mean, what else do we have going on?
We got to go. We got laundry to do. We got a car to pack. We just got 4 brand new tires and windshield wipers. So we're ready, but I don't think our clothes are ready yet.
Well, that's
so
fair.
We still
have
a lot to do to get ready for the weekend, but so many wonderful things this week. Go listen to Texas Hold'em by Hank.
Yes, it'll
and
be
And enjoy
good.
Your weekend.
Yep.
As always, it's a pleasure to be around the table with you, Joe.
Likewise.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would roll on situations in your games, and he's with us again this week. Elliot, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I'm on vacation, so it seems to be a little bit nicer. Certainly warmer.
You couldn't get away from me, though. I tracked you down to put you on here.
Yeah, good job of hound dogging that. That was, yeah.
Right.
Got me.
I wanted to get you on because we have a really cool call the floor this week and definitely want to get your opinion on this. It's sent in by Cody Baird, and I'll tell you, I've gone back and forth on this, on what I think. So getting your opinion on this is crucial here. Basically, they're heads up on the turn, and they've both put in about 15 big blinds at this point when the turn card is dealt. My opponent has about 60 big blinds behind, and he's handed his food order by the waiter. He takes what equates to be about 12 big blinds from his stack to pay his bill. I stop the action and say that he needs to find a different way to pay because he's in a hand, so those chips are actively in play. The dealer finds my argument unusual because players do this all the time. And while I agree that players pay this way all the time, not usually while in a hand, the dealer does eventually call the floor over, and the floor rules that the money can be used to pay waitstaff whether in a hand or not. So Cody's question is, how is this different from removing chips from the table and putting them in your pocket?
Well, Cody, this is a great one, and this is a conversation and battle I've had in many rooms. I only wish that you would have actually given us the cash value of the blinds as opposed to how many blinds it was, because everything's relative. Let's face it, in a 1-2 blind game, 12 big blinds is $24. Well, that's going to buy your lunch and a drink. That's not an unreasonable amount in most casinos, and most casinos won't have an objection. On the other hand, if you're playing 10 and 25 blind, 12 big blinds, all of a sudden, you're looking at $300. I guess you're getting A5 Wagyu. So there's a big difference here. Most rooms set a reasonable limit of $10 or $20 you can take off the table to pay for incidentals, massages, meals, drinks, and certainly in between hands. Once you're in a hand, your money is locked into play. Table stakes have to apply at some point. And now you have to balance this with the casino. Obviously, they want to get their money. They brought you a good or a service, and they want to get paid for it, whether you're paying for massage therapy or food and beverage or anything else. They certainly want their money before it goes bust. So there's a battle here going in both directions. Fairness dictates that this money has to be in play during the hand. It's completely unfair. And let's face it, when it comes to having a meal delivered, I'm pretty sure that the restaurant outlet will gladly accept your cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like I said, I went back and forth on it because on one hand, I was like, yeah, people do it all the time while not in a hand. Usually, I don't know that I've ever seen it while they were in a hand, but then I was like, I mean, to your point, you know, 1-2, it's $24, not that big of a deal, $24, whatever.
Right.
But then I'm like, but that $24, you know, I was betting maybe according to the stack in front of you, you know? So,
sure.
So I've gone back and forth on it, you know, definitely have seen people paying out of their stack, but I just don't think you can do it while in the hand for sure.
Right. So there has to be some kind of middle ground.
Yeah.
Casinos are just not going to forbid people to pay off incidentals, especially low cost incidentals, out of their stacks. It's just never going to be a part of their business model. They want to get their revenue. They want to get their costs paid for. On the other hand, you have to ensure that table stakes are enforced at all games. It's the only way to keep the game fair and balanced. You certainly can't be paying for incidentals in the middle of a hand, unless obviously you're reaching for cash out of your pocket.
Right, but that brings me to another point that I happen to think of, that if you're in a hand, they bring you your food. It's this funny thing there too, because you don't want to slow the wait staff down to wait for you to not be in a hand, but you don't want to slow the table down so that you're not moving the action along either.
Here's the counterpoint. In well-run card rooms, the Bike, the Commerce, the Hawaiian Garden, well, the Gardens now, any of the rooms on the Strip, the Venetian, Aria, Bellagio, when they bring your food to your table or when they bring cocktail service to the table, they are incredibly well-trained. Their teams are strong. They do not interrupt people who have cards in front of them in poker. They just don't. And if they do, they're doing it wrong. They wait till somebody's out of a hand simply because they don't want to slow the game down. If
right.
They're delivering a beverage is not more important than the dealer getting the hand out. And they know that. So this is not going to be a problem in well-run places. This is not going to be a problem with great teams. This is going to be a problem with teams that are just going through the motions and just trying to get things done, regardless of the impact on service levels or revenue.
Well, that makes sense. I guess I never thought about it. It's another one of those, you know, kind of behind the scenes things that helps things to run smoothly that we don't necessarily see if we're just sitting at the tables, because the waitress, they're not coming to the table when you have the cards in your hand. They're being observant and acting accordingly. So if that's happening, then little things like this don't become a problem. Makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Cody, I appreciate you sending that in. I think it's an important one for people to hear and discuss, because like I said, you just don't see it very often.
I'd like to go further and say he should bring it up with the leadership team at the room that he's playing in. Maybe they have noticed it. Maybe they can't do anything about it, but chances are that it's one of those small details that is just gone by them. Bringing it to their attention will help them do something about it. This is not a small issue as far as the play of the game is concerned. Taking that much money off the table in the middle of a hand is an issue that needs to be addressed pretty directly with the people that run that establishment.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is, you know, it may be something that those running the room can stop from happening in the future. And like we said before, making the game run more smoothly. So, yeah, that's a perfect point. So there you go, Cody. Appreciate that. Elliot, enjoy the rest of your vacation.
I plan to. I don't know what I'm beside myself. It's in the mid-70s now. It's just beautiful.
Nice. Go enjoy it. And we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We're back with another Hand of the Week with Patrick. How's it going?
We're back. I'm good, man. Yourself?
I'm doing well. The Royals are 8-4, so I can't complain.
Yeah, well, it is very nice though that our teams are off to great starts. The Red Sox had a West Coast swing to start the year, and they were off to a very good start, and then they came home and the Orioles are just taking them to the woodshed in Fenway Park. So, you know, we're still above 500, and if you'd asked me, you know, 12 games in, if that was going to be the case, I would have said absolutely not. Zero odds on that one, but, you know, so we'll take it. We will take it.
You know who else is off to a good start this year?
Our guys.
Jackpot Digital.
Yeah, they are.
They signed another installation deal, which just adds to the growing number of states you can find these tables. Not to mention the cruise ships, right? So
right.
You've got the cruise ships. They're on Carnival, Virgin, Princess Cruises, Holland America. I've never heard of AIDA, but they're on there. Costa Cruises. They're also in land-based casinos. There's in Quebec, Saskatchewan.
Very good. Our Canadian listeners are going to love this. You're a good deal.
Yeah. California, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, South Dakota, and the U.S. Virgin Islands and Washington.
I would like to say we are impressed, all of us, as you reeled that one off. Wow. And look, folks, behind the scenes, look, he didn't practice that at all.
No.
That was just off the cuff. Well, as they continue to grow, the challenge is going to continue to be that you're going to have to add to that. So, Jackpot right. Digital, just keep increasing the states. We'll keep it increasing how quick we can get through that. Wow, that is nuts. I mean, they are growing nuts. I mean, it just through the roof. It's yeah. So cool to see.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we were able to kind of get to know them from the ground floor. I can't wait to see where things go moving forward.
It's like if you had a friend growing up and they, you know, became, you know, a major league player, some kind of sport, you know, we got from the ground up and now it's, you know, it's cool to know the Jackpot Digital guys. Oh boy.
Well, we have a hand this week that we're actually going to be playing an online tournament, and it's sent in by Gerard Walls.
All right.
He says, this is an interesting hand I played in an online tournament that was a $5.50 buy-in.
Okay.
He says, we're still early in the tournament with the blinds at 50 and 100. Starting stack is 45,000. Holy cow.
Oof. Long tournament.
We are starting deep.
Shoo.
We've lost 1,000, so we're at 44,000 when this hand occurs. Under the gun limps, it's crazy that you can lose 1,000 chips and be like, yeah, but I've still got 440 big blinds.
Part of me wants to follow up with our friend Gerard and find out when this is, because, I mean, that's, you know, depending on how many people in that, it's going to be a fun tournament.
Yeah, he's still playing.
If you got some time to sit down and do it, yeah.
He's still playing today.
Rob, hopefully you're at a final table and you can send us in a winning hand for next week's hand of the week.
So in this hand, under the gun limps, and it folds to the low jack, who also limps. The hijack folds, and the cutoff limps. So a lot of limping going on here. He says the cutoff has the shortest stack with 34,000.
Okay.
The button folds, and it's to us in the small blind with the ace of spades, eight of clubs.
Where we got three limpers?
Yeah.
What? I don't like that at all.
A lot of limping going on with a lot of big blinds. So.
A lot of big blinds. See, here's where, and you know, maybe this will be a little bit of a teaching moment for all my friends, the novices out there, and you know, you pros and experienced players will laugh at us. But what's, you know, when you're sitting on a stack of 44,000, I guess you still got to stick to your guns on, you know, what size bets you're going to do based on the blinds, right? Like, you can't go nuts because, like, I mean, you still got to stick to it. Is that accurate to say?
I think that you really have to make your bets based on the table, right?
Right. So, okay.
Yes, typically, you know, my typical raise is going to be 2.5 times the big blind.
Right.
Plus, how, you know, one big blind for every limper. But in some cases, you know, it depends on what you want to accomplish. Right. If I want everybody to fold, then I'm going to have to change that maybe. And in this case, for instance, we have ace eight offsuit and we're out of position against three players.
So here's where let me jump in before you say it. Here's where my mindset goes with exactly that. Was exactly my mindset right there, because part of me is like, OK, well, limp with them, and I mean, you're already out of position anyways, just limp with them and see what the flop comes out. But then at the same time, I'm like, all right, well, you do have an ace. I'm like, well, how big's too big? Because I had 500 in my head.
That's probably not big enough, to be honest.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking too. I was like, okay, like, that's what 500 pots in my head. And I'm like, well, Joe's gonna tell me it's not big enough, and I don't know how big is big, so that that's where we're at.
Well, first, personally, with ace eight offsuit, we're not making any straights.
Yep.
If we hit our ace, I don't feel super confident in it, especially with under the gun in there. So I don't even know why we play this hand, first of all. But if we are going to play it, then you probably have to make it like 700 or 800. So
it goes along with what you said, like, you know, normal 2.5 times the bet size, and then another, you know, big blind or two per person, you know, going in, and we got three limpers. So yeah, you're probably right.
But personally, just not for the record, I think playing ace eight offsuit from the small blind with three limpers is, with one of those limpers being the end of the gun, probably not a great idea.
fair enough. He's going on record.
And Gerard raises, but he raises to 500. So he was more in that realm that you were thinking. The big blind folds and all the previous limpers call, because why wouldn't they with this
47,000 million chips?
So my first thought with Gerard is intention. If you want to just play this hand and have a bigger pot building in case you hit big, great. You mission accomplished. But if your idea was that you were going to get these people to fold, then 500 is not even close to doing that. So,
because here's my thought too. If you're going to go, you know, again, that was what my gut was saying was 500, but I mean, if you're really wanting to just see what the flop is and go from there, you can do it a lot cheaper and just, you know, call the big blind and go on. So, but anyway, all right. So,
but to your point,
you hate that, don't you?
I just want to see the flop, and
are those even more words people that you speak? I don't know that they come out of your mouth.
You get yourself in a lot of trouble when you're like, let's just see the flop. You will win some hands.
You will win some hands, but you will lose far greater.
Yes.
Like the last time that we played, and I bought back in and bought back in and bought back in because I saw a lot of flops, folks. So learn from mistakes on here. So anyway, all right. So 500 is across the board. There's what, four of us playing? So 2,000.
Plus the big blind. So 2,100. The flop is the ace of diamonds, queen of diamonds, three of spades. So this is where I don't feel super comfortable with my kicker, right?
Right.
Especially with, like I keep saying it, that under the gun player has to have something to have come in here with.
Yep.
So what do you think?
I don't know what to think. Part of me says check. Look, we've got our aces. You hate your kicker. I mean, there's just way too many. My gut says check. See where everyone else is at. That's what my gut's telling me.
You can make a case for it, for sure. I feel like I want to bet still. I still want to put some pressure on here.
Sure.
But I feel
you're going to get at least one, if not two out, right? That's right. Realistically, betting there, the chances of, I guess my thought with the check is the chances of checking around are very slim to none. So we'll see where people are at and maybe catch a read on someone. I don't know. But, you know, there's my argument, whether it's right or wrong, who knows?
Yeah. And if you're betting, I feel like quarter pot is too small, but I think half pot's too big. So I want to go some in the middle there, like, I'm going to say 800.
Okay.
Gerard, however, bets 1,800.
So I love it.
That's over three quarter pot.
That is saying a lot for an ace eight.
So he came in what I felt like was too small pre-flop and what I feel like is too big post-flop. So. But it does get thin the field. It folds to the cutoff. Who calls? So
there's your heads up. I mean, it does accomplish that.
Right.
Which is good. There's no doubt. So all right.
And the fact that he just called there says something. That's interesting. He didn't want to come over the top. He didn't like, you know, I could see where if you put in a big bet like that, somebody might see that as weakness because you're wanting to get everybody out.
Right.
And try to put the pressure back on you. He didn't do that. So they may have a weak ace or a queen and want to see what happens on the turn as well. But
yeah,
They definitely have something to make the call, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's hope they don't have a set of threes or something.
Yeah, or ace queen.
Yeah, I feel like if they had ace queen, they would have played the preflop a little bit different. They wouldn't have limped, yeah, maybe. But regardless, there's...
All right, so we bet, drawbet 1,800, so 36, that's what, 5,700?
5,700 in the pot. And the turn is the ace of clubs.
Well, there's our set.
We've got a set. If they had pocket threes...
And you're still not feeling great yet. I mean, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better that we're heads up, but you're still just not feeling great.
Right. I have this bad feeling about pocket threes in there. But us hitting that third ace makes it less likely that they have an ace. They would have to have the case ace.
That is true. That does kind of take out, yeah. The whole ace queen argument, even if it was there, is probably gone. I mean, I doubt they have another ace. This is interesting. Playing where my hand was, I would have probably checked again, but where Gerard is, I mean, came out big last time. I feel like you got to come out big again. I mean, you've got to, you know, continue to tell your story like we talk about all the time. I'm probably going like at least half pot, if not higher, so probably 4,000.
Yeah, we ended up betting big on the flop, like you said. So if we check here, we don't get the information we want. Because if we check and they bet, then we could wonder if they are just taking the opportunity because we showed weakness, right? So,
yep.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to do at least a half pot here. If they call, they call. I mean, you're still not getting a whole lot out of them. But... be prepared for, you know, if they do raise, you know, to go that route. I mean, that'd be interesting. That might scream your threes if they do, but.
Yeah, and I was thinking just putting in a smaller sized bet to kind of control the pot, like 25, 2600.
Yeah.
And then see how they react, you know, if they tank, if they raise, if they quit call, it's, you know, whatever. But I think that's what I'll do. I would just put in a little bit smaller bet there.
Okay.
But Gerard actually puts in a smaller bet than me. He down bets to only 2,000.
All right. Same mindset, just different number.
Yeah. Villain does call, and the pot now is 9,700.
So just call, man.
Yeah, I know. The river is the six of clubs. So I feel like a bet of 2,000 there basically works the same as a check.
It does. You're absolutely right. I was like, hey, just put in something. You tell me if I'm crazy on this one. But I'm checking. If he puts in a check, you don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't like a check there, but finish your thought.
Yeah, let me tell you. So it's 97 on the pot. I'm comfortable doing a bet within the pot, easy. I mean, we've got our sets. You know, I'm not necessarily the most confident in it, but you're still feeling pretty good. So I have no problem seeing where his bet is at. If it's smaller than that, then maybe you raise on top of it if you want to and buy it. Or if it is, you know, something within, you know, 9,700, then call it and see what happens. But you don't like that at all.
I don't know. I can see your point for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But my mindset was if I had already thought if Gerard checked on the last street, then I was going to make a full pot or even over bet the pot bet that really just kind of polarizes our hand where we've either got it or we don't.
Okay.
The problem is, you know, if they have pocket threes, you know, if they've got that boat, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, but can't you make them? I mean, think about the betting. Can't you make them on, you know, king queen or jacks or tens? I mean, I see the threes for sure, but there's a lot more hands out there that we have beat, I guess is my thought, and I want to see what he does.
And that's kind of my point, is if they have jacks or king, queen or something like that, I want them to think I could be bluffing. And that's why I'm thinking going over pot. Because it just polarizes my hand, where I've either got a super strong hand or I've got air. So then you get, maybe you get a call there. So yeah, I think in this case I want to bet 10K.
Okay.
And Gerard bets 5,500.
Okay.
The villain snap calls. That's not Well, I was just thinking he snap called. That's not good. And then as I read the next line, he mucks his hand after I show. So we took it down. The reason that he sent this in, here's the question. I don't want to be results oriented, but I feel like I missed some value on the river. Is there a better bet sizing there? And what about on different streets?
Well, don't listen to the novice, because my guy over there would have checked and still mucked his hand. So let's throw it back to Joe on this one.
Well, here's what I would, obviously our bets were a little bit different in this hand, but I wouldn't say that just because he snap called means that he would have called more. He probably just made up his mind with something like a queen, right? Like you were saying, king, queen, something like that. He probably just made up his mind that he was going to call you down with any decent sized bet. He wasn't going to go crazy. So, you know, I overbet the pot.
Might have been too crazy. Yeah.
He probably folds, you know? So I don't think.
So Gerard, what we're saying is you got the best value out of either the low end of checking and would have gotten nothing, or overbetting and probably would have folded anyway.
Yeah. I think you did a good job there. My bet sizing on some of the other streets, I think I definitely would have gone differently on the pre-flop and on the flop. But
yeah,
aside from that, I think you played it well. And obviously,
you did too.
Took down some money, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, he bet, what, five? So that's another 10. I mean, that's $19,000 pot.
Yeah.
That so, adds to your absurd stack to start with.
Yeah, exactly.
Hence why when Joe said you're still playing, you might still be playing. That's awesome. No, I think you did great, Gerard. I think that was, I mean, again, you differed a little bit from Joe, but I mean, we were all kind of within the same lines, and you definitely on the river took whatever value was there, more than likely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you did great, Gerard, and thanks for sending that in. Patrick, thanks for your input.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure as always. We will look forward to doing it again next week.
Absolutely.
All right, cheers, bud.
It's time for Joe's One-Outer.
Just recently, a player was caught red-handed marking cards at the Battle of Malta. I read a pretty detailed recountment from David Lappin, and I tell you, the guy really seems to have gotten off easy. I mean, cheating in poker is a serious offense, and it can have serious consequences, both in terms of reputation and legal ramifications. Actually, that's the case in any situation, but poker is a game that has to have a certain amount of trust and integrity, or it's going to go off the rails real fast. Cheating can take a lot of different forms, from subtle manipulation to outright fraud, right? Some of the ones we hear about from time to time are collusion, marked cards, or angling. And the penalty for cheating can obviously vary depending on the severity of the offense and who's doling out the punishment, right? But the idea is to discourage this from happening again. I would encourage you guys to read what David wrote, and I'll I'll put a link to it in the description. But it sounds like this guy really, he knew what he was doing, and all he got was a one-round penalty. That seems like a pretty weak punishment, if you ask me. When you have disqualification, suspension, or even banishment as options, one round? It's not really going to send the message I would like to send if I found someone was doing this at the table I was on. Maintaining fair play is essential to preserving the integrity of the game of poker as a whole, not just in this one tournament series. Cheating of any kind cannot have a place in poker. But when I hear about these things, it just reminds me how well-run events like the WSOP and the WPT and MSPT, they're all run so well. So shout-outs to Jack Effel, Matt Savage, Jeremy Smith, as well as all the other tournament directors out there making sure we have a safe place to play. That's today's one-outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Annie Up Podcast is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcasts@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@AnnieUpMagazine.com.